Welcome to the Founders Lounge, where we give you a real inside look on what it's like to lead a nationwide brand without all the glitz, the glamour, and all the hype, as well as candid conversations with other founders and business owners alike.
You got your phone turned off?
I do.
Welcome back to the Founders Lounge. I'm Don. This is going to be an interesting conversation. One, we're not in our normal studio. We're in our big room here at the office, which is a little bit different, but we've got really cool guests for the show today. We've been trying to get this one together for a little while now.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
Between your schedule and ours, it was a little tricky, but we got it. This conversation is kind of one of the reasons why we started this whole podcast, was to get founders of other franchises on here and tell their story and talk about their brand and promote other people here. So I'm looking forward to this one. We've got Dave and Kara Longo from Burrito Shack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey. Excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was a hey.
It's Friday. Come on.
You guys need an energy drink?
Margarita.
There you go.
I'm in. Yeah. We got bourbon in there.
I like bourbon.
There you go.
Well, I guess let's just kick it off and just start from the beginning. Talk about your background, how you guys met, and
yeah. Sure.
Yeah. You want to start with that one?
Well, you start with the how we met.
How we met. Yeah. Okay. So David is from the Wilmington area. I'm from Ohio. So I met David through some friends at the beach one summer. I was still at Ohio State. So I went home to graduate. I think I graduated on like December 10th. And by the 12th, my car was packed and I was moving. So that was in 2006. So I came down here and never left. We got married in 2009. Now we have 3 kids.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I was a chef.
Yeah.
At the country club during that time.
Yeah. He was a chef, and actually to drive back home to finish school, I brought one of my girlfriends down, and he was like, I'm gonna have you for dinner. So we show up and he prepares this like 8-course meal.
Nice.
Duck, all the things.
Last, you know, one like, I've ever done.
I'm like 22, you know, this is like fine dining, and
you're eating ramen before this, right?
Right. Yeah. And so he wowed us, and yeah, the rest is kind of history on that one.
Yeah. And you know, I've been in restaurants since I was 12. You know, my first job was kind of bussing tables for chicken fingers, and then I'd go out and serve. You know, my mom was waiting tables. So, you know, my bloodline is just kind of in that restaurant space, and I kind of fell in love with the hustle of it. And I went to Johnson & Wales and graduated with a bachelor's in food service management, and moved to Hawaii for a little while with 5 surfboards, a book bag, and just wanted to learn more about different cuisines and surf. And, you know, I came back in 2006. I just moved back, yeah, when we met, and had gotten an executive chef position, and I moved on to another spot, and, you know, of course, we got married in that time, had a couple kids, and,
yeah,
you know, I think one of the focuses on opening something like Burrito Shack was that, you know, 2 young kids trying to find a place that fresh, and we could, you know, get in and out at a, you know, 20 minutes before they start crying or, you know, whatnot. And, you know, so we kind of approached our parents, you know, for money, you know, because we had none. And a few years previous, I had built my house while I was a chef. So, you know, every morning from, you know, 6 to whenever I had to go in, 3 o'clock or so, I was building my house. So we did that for a year. We got moved in, and then this was a couple of years later. You know, I had built enough equity just from doing the actual work. And so we're like, look, if it doesn't work out, we'll sell the house, we'll start back over. And, you know, luckily they agreed.
Yeah, but back up to that. So when we had the idea of the restaurant, we went to, like, every bank, you know, and they all turned us away.
Yeah.
So
we tried that first, yeah.
Yeah, so that's when we approached family, and basically the deal with that was – we will have you all paid back, you know, in this amount of time.
But we didn't know.
But we honestly didn't know. So the game plan was, okay, well, our house, we have this equity in the house because he had built the house from the ground up, hammered every nail, put up every wall, tile, the whole thing. And so we were like, well, worst case scenario, we'll sell the house and we'll have enough equity that we can pay everybody back.
We got $145,000.
But
that's what we started the original Burrito Shack with.
Yeah.
And I actually built Burrito Shack out as well.
Yeah. It was a previous...
it was a previous restaurant.
Yeah.
So
where was the first location?
In Hampstead.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was actually a Highway 55 beforehand. And, you know, I went in, tape measure, and, you know, drew out four pieces of paper taped together with architect's ruler, and was like, here's the plan. It
wasn't a real architectural plan.
You know, Bill Ferris, met with him for some equipment initially, and, you know, he's like, well, where's your plans? And I pulled him out, and he's like, gives me this weird look. He's like, this guy's lost it, you know. And so eventually he, you know, visiting the location a little bit, he's like, okay, he kind of knows what he's doing. And, you know, luckily, you know, it's worked out and we've had some success and, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. I think we did four. I did four of our, some of our first ones that did a build out. That's how I did them. Because I didn't know anything about it. And we were maybe 5 or 6 units deep at that point. And then we started getting some franchisees that wanted to do build outs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. So I would, like, go to these locations and same thing, just measure them and then get on grid paper. And I drew them out with a ruler and, like, here, go take this to your architect.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean,
I have to give Bill Ferris, like, a little shout out too, because I wonder how many of us he's like, you know, because we went to Bill Ferris too, and that's who helped us franchise also. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So, Bill Ferris.
I know.
Yeah, he's
he probably thinks these guys.
He's great.
Yeah.
Hey, at least they all believe in themselves, right?
Very true. Yeah.
He's a super good dude. Well, let's get into Burrito Shack. I know when I find another franchise, whether it's a franchise or not, but when I find a place that I like to eat at, I become like an instant raving fan, and I go there all the time. And everybody's like, well, why do you go to another fresh food place when you have your own? I don't know. It's your habit. I like it. So I mean, that is Burrito Shack for me. Every time I buy one, or if I'm in Hampstead, I stop every time. So, I mean, I love your food.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, you mentioned how you got it started, but how did you, like, talk about how you came up with the name and all of that stuff?
So the menu items, going back to the design, we knew we wanted, like, the beach vibe to it, just from, you know, where we live. We're, like, you know, 5 minutes from the beach. Mm-hmm. He grew up at the beach. So for menu items, we started with, like, where we got married, which was Rincon, Puerto Rico. You know, just our 10 closest family members on the beach. So then we were like, well, it's all going to, you know, have a beach vibe to it. The Burrito Shack, I mean, we knew burritos were the focus, but honestly, I don't even remember. Like,
I don't know.
It was late at night when the kids were asleep at 10 o'clock.
Working on the, you know, we had nothing figured out except for a location.
Location.
At that point, so it was building out during the day and at night figuring out, you know, what the menu was going to be and, you know, going through names. And I think, you know, we have ours spelled a little differently instead of having a C in it. And, you know, like I said, we only had $145,000 to get this going. So, you know, we tried to get burritoshack.com. Well, it was $10,000 on GoDaddy. So I was like, well, you know, if I took the C out, that looks kind of cool. So, you know, $9.99. Now we got a website. Save $10,000.
I mean,
so.
But it wasn't a fancy marketing company or a design company or anything like that. I mean, I remember pulling together just like materials in the restaurant that you want the feel and the corrugated metal and the colors and eventually the shiplap and the lighting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was really just all just pulling ideas together. It wasn't planned.
Right.
The actual menu and the recipes, he didn't get to until, you know, Burrito Shack was finished and the kitchen's back there. Yeah. And then he starts putting recipes together, like, the week that we open.
Yeah,
it's so crazy, some of the similarities.
I mean, when we opened that first week, I mean, I'm learning the menu with everybody else. I have no idea what it looked like.
I'm in the back with, you know, pieces of paper writing down, okay, oh, well, it needs more of this. And, you know, I had a good idea of where I wanted to go with it, but actually creating the recipes definitely was, you know, 2 days before we opened.
Yeah.
Getting back to the name and taking the C out, you know, we had a little thing there with how we came up with our name, which I won't go through that whole story to take up time, but it's kind of funny and cool and clever, some of the stuff that you can do with marketing when your name is
a little different.
Just tweaked a little bit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you notice, everything we do has a Z in it.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of your marketing. Yeah. It's all, you know, Shack with a K. Different. With a C. Yeah. It's just, I think it's really cool. I think there's some cool stuff you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was how that got started. But, you know, back to the menu, you know, a lot of the menu items are places that I would travel and surf to. So we try to keep everything relatable to, you know, our
personal
experiences. And, you know, I was really big into surfing. And, of course, you know, kids and life and, you know, injuries and whatnot is limited that much more. But getting back out there with Ava a little bit, one of our daughters is into it pretty good. So
she likes it. She got her first.
Gives me an excuse to kind of get back out there a little more. And you know, work is busy, and, you know, growing the franchise, as you know, is, you know, is challenging and fun at the same time. But,
so that's how you came up with the Rincon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rincon, yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
We need to go back.
I know. You know, we haven't. We always say, we're like, oh,
yeah. Time gets away.
It does.
Well, here's an interesting question, and it's going to be obvious why I asked it, but how is it working together?
We get asked that all the time. Like,
I know.
Husband, wife, team.
Yeah, and it's funny because most people are like, oh, gosh, I could never work. And I'm, you know, there's pros and cons to it, but it's like, I can't imagine growing a business or anything with anybody else. I mean, it's like, that's who you trust. That's your person. It's fun, like, having the same goals, like career goals, you know, like you don't get to do that if you're working separate careers. So, but there's definitely, I mean, I think it's helped the communication times 10, because, you know, we definitely don't see eye to eye all the time.
It wasn't always easy.
It wasn't always easy.
It's gotten easier with time, I think. You know, I think at one point, you know, when we only had one or two stores open, you know, I got to a point where I was like, I got to have help. I need help, you know, in marketing. Yeah. And she had a good eye for that. So, you know, now Kara does a lot of the marketing and working with the franchisees and the corporate side, the brand fund.
And I think that helps, knowing like your place too, and just kind of sticking to what you're good at too. I try not to criticize too much and back this way. Yeah.
Not true.
Well,
we call them lanes here. I just merge a lot. I merge.
Right.
Did you hear what she said?
I know. I'm working on it. I mean, I'm not going to say I have it down, but I think.
I don't criticize. I just tell you how it's going to be.
There you go. I heard that. Are you listening?
I think we deal with that well, probably, right?
But I don't know if you remember, but like in the beginning, you know, because this was like, you know, the restaurant industry was him. And I was a teacher. So in the beginning, like when we made our social media pages and stuff, it was all him. He like wouldn't let me post anything. Like, I think at one point I would have to send it to get approval.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
We gotta stay on brand.
Type A. So, and I'm not type A. So that worked out well for us. Cause I'm like, well, fine. If he wants me to send it to him, I will. And then as time went on, I think he realized like, you're good at it. You can.
We just must have you just don't have the red hair. So that's like, I have the temper behind it. So that's what's separating us with the.
Well,
she has that.
I can. I am. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it's.
Yeah.
It's, I love it though. I can't imagine, you know?
Mm-hmm. So it's like one good fight. Yeah.
I was just getting ready to ask that. I'm glad you asked that.
I mean, I can't remember, but I mean, we've definitely had some, you know, some back and forth.
You've never thrown tubs of food at each other and Cuss each other out.
No. Man. Well, maybe cussing in it. I wouldn't say it's cussing out. Like, you know, yeah. You're cussing in the word.
Emotional. Emotional, yeah. Emotional kind of disagreements or, you know, I mean, ultimately we both have the same goal in mind. And, you know, she's type A too, so.
Sort of. You're more type A.
Well. Maybe.
Oh, you wear that hat.
All right, so we throw food. I mean, you know, I feel like it's better than hitting each other, you know.
We always definitely. Tell everybody here in the office, I mean, like, we'll get pretty ramped up and yell at each other, but it's just kind of how we operate sometimes. Wow. But we always tell everybody here, you're good until something goes flying, and then you might want to leave the
room. Yeah. Well, and I will say, too, I mean, we've got the three young kids at home, so you kind of have to, like, if you get to the point, you just got to walk away.
Yeah, but it doesn't last long. That's good. We might be frustrated, but it's...
And I mean, when we opened the restaurant, we were so tired. The only thing I remember at the end of the night is just sitting on the floor. Like, once we closed, I would just sit there. Like, my feet hurt so bad.
Yeah, we were working probably 15, 16-hour days.
Yeah.
After we had built it all out and worked a ton then, but...
And then even so then, you know, so when we opened, my parents came down the first few weeks to take care of the kids because, you know, we were going to be there so much. So once they left, I was kind of like back home more. So, you know, my role in there has kind of changed a lot over the years too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So you guys are married. You have Burrito Shack started, the first one in Hampstead. What made you guys think you wanted to franchise? Like what point did you get? You're like, hey, I think this is going
to
be a good idea.
I mean, that's a good question. You know, we always wanted to expand if things went well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in the research that I was doing on franchising, it had always intrigued me. So I knew we could grow at an exponential rate possibility, you know, as opposed to one-offs, you know, every 1 or 2 years. So, you know, and then also people were coming in the store even when we first opened, asking if it was a franchise. I felt like we had some, you know, just questions from customers that kind of sparked it a little bit.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, let's give other people the opportunity to join in, and you know, their community needs a Burrito Shack too. We felt like.
Who did you guys use to help you get started?
iFranchise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're in the Chicago area. And they came down for a few days, worked in the system, and then I think it probably took, 6 months of checklists to kind of get the operations manual and back and forth with the law firm to get going. But
probably a full year total, I would say, just getting everything together.
I think that's about what we did, almost a year before we sold our first one.
Mm-hmm.
Getting all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the one thing, you know, because it took us a while to sell one too. You know, I was doing all the initial phone calls and trying to talk to people. We had no CRM set up, so it was all, you know, calls and text and reaching out. And, you know, we really didn't get anywhere until, you know, a customer came into the store one day and, you know, one of the employees came in to the office and was like, hey, somebody wants to talk about franchising. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, so we walk out and, you know, that ended up being our first sale. And he signed on a day for 3 stores. And the very next day we had sold another one. So, you know, we got 4 within 2 days and, you know, cause the momentum was up here and, you know, and it slowly lowers, you know, when you're not getting any sales and making any progress. But, you know, I think one of the things that we continually tell ourselves, even, you know, where we're at now, is we're never going to give up, and we're always going to fight for the franchisees and, you know, for the company and everything that we have. So I think that's one thing that some people don't see is, you know, is the big downs and, you know, but we live for the ups. So,
yeah.
I think when I look at franchising as a whole, service brands, probably don't fit this, but I mean in the realm that we're in, food.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Slow and steady wins the race every time.
Sure.
I always get real nervous when I see those brands that are, you know, you
100
see
units out of the gate.
And then they have like 150, 200 units within 3 years. And I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
You better slow down.
Yeah. I mean, even still, you know, we have 7 stores open right now and 3 more set open this year at least. But, you know, even when we signed the first one, you know, we thought we had, just because we had operations manual, everything ready.
Well, we're good to go.
You know, then we're like, oh, well, we need these other 10 items. And each store we open, it's like we're adding to,
you know,
that.
You're just constantly working on things. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no book or manual that says, like, this is what you need. So, I mean, even now, just even like our vetting process of franchisees, you know,
continually
within the
evolving.
Last month, we've changed things up. You know, it's like the work's never done.
I wish I could tell you that it would get easier,
but it doesn't. It's just your systems and procedures, I feel like, work up until 25 and then it changes again. And then to 50 and just like us with, like, we got to do it all over again too. So I just feel like, you know, and you never get them perfect, right? So your business is evolving, so you have to make sure everything else evolves with you. So, it's going to be
constant projects.
It's going.
But we're excited about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, what else will we be doing? I don't know. You know, that's what
surfing.
I think.
Surfing.
No.
Yeah.
I'm like,
taking a vacation.
Yeah.
Something.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We've definitely limited the vacations.
Yeah.
You know, in the past few years, just. You know, and even when we do take vacations, I mean, I remember sitting in the Disney line for one of the coasters with the kids, and I'm, you know,
emailing and caterings
and everything
else.
But
it's like you almost have to do that, because if you don't, then you come back and the list is like a million times longer, and you know, it's.
Every time we go on vacation, you're like, "Are you gonna get on your phone?" No,
we
no,
so,
no, I'm good.
Yeah, we're going somewhere to like this
every
next week.
Every time she
week,
goes to the bathroom, I'm like,
we keep talking about it.
Yeah, I just lock my way because it's all gonna be here when I get back. So you only get a certain amount to go away. So
you're good at that.
I wasn't, but the last probably 2 vacations that we've taken, which has probably been the last 5 years.
I've actually switched.
So it used to be me. I could. As soon as I walked out that door, turn it off, go home. Yeah. Never. And now she can do that better than I can. And I go home and I'm like, ratty.
Yeah.
I just know that when you get away, that's like, it's just, it's a gift. So, and again, if you don't have the right team around you that can handle everything, then you need to come home and reevaluate that again. And we do. And so it's easy to now to
turn
just
it off. Yeah.
Lock my phone in the safe and I just don't do it.
Yeah.
So it'll be here when I get here.
Yeah.
And our team's still small.
I'm going to try.
That's what I was going to ask you. You franchised in what year?
2019, I think, is the year we started.
2019.
Maybe 2018, we had all our operations manuals.
Seven units. How many people, how many employees?
On the franchise side, we have six.
Well, including six.
Yeah.
Including, broker and all of that.
Operation. Well, the sales team, I guess she's referring to, he's commission-based only. Right now, well, not necessarily. I mean, we pay him per lead and each step of the way. But, you know, obviously his big payday is the sale of the franchise.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we did, 3 franchise agreements this week?
Mm-hmm. It was a good week. So, it's kind of.
We don't expect those to open this year, I don't think, but just.
It's just been a really good month.
It just depends
last year
on.
Last was really slow. Mm-hmm. You know, year 4 was just like, you know, we didn't open any new stores. Or, you know, so it was like.
I don't know if that's predictable or not. We've tried to do it. You know, COVID was our best year.
Mm-hmm.
We sold more franchises during COVID than we ever have.
Nice.
And then last year, we were about equal. We sold about the same amount.
Yeah.
And now this year is like a screeching halt. Like our leads are just way down.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, is it the economy? Is it interest rates? Who knows? Like, cost to go get money is high.
Mm-hmm.
People are just freaked out. Do they want to spend money? But then you talk to other people, you know, like you guys, you're selling away. So I don't know if there's a way to, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess droughts are different seasons for everybody.
I don't know.
But, you know, we opened 4 stores during COVID. I mean, you know, our pipeline before COVID was strong, and then COVID broke out, and, you know, we lost a lot of traction and growth. And, I mean, I think we had stores open maybe 6 months, you know, before COVID. So we've only really known franchising really during COVID. So that's been a challenge within itself, too. And, you know, but we fared well. Fared well during that time. You know, quick service obviously didn't really have to close like some of the sit-down restaurants that struggled. So we were lucky. We were very lucky there.
Yeah. So COVID, you said you guys did really well during COVID. Mm-hmm. We did too. We had to go all online, I think. We did a little bit of curbside pickup, but not a whole lot.
Yeah, that was challenging too, the curbside pickup.
Yeah, at our store, that one Cinco de Mayo was like a 2-hour wait.
For quick service food.
People were in the parking lot standing there, you know, we're trying to get out the orders, but it was...
We couldn't accept a ticket before 5 more were entering the system.
And what, you guys turned it off at like...
Yeah, we turned it off like
7 something, and we closed at 9.
Yeah, we just, I mean, we had so many tickets. And
it was insane.
Sounds like fun. No, I was kidding. Well, I always like those adrenaline rushes.
It makes the day go fast.
Looking back now, you're like, oh, we made it. But at the time, you're like, just stop, please.
It was insane.
I mean, I came in to help because they were so busy. And then I think you were passing by to...
called me or something. I can't remember how that happened. But
She shows up out of nowhere. She drove by the parking lot and saw how... crazy it was, and there's she came chaos. In and helped, and so
good thing you didn't just keep driving. Memory.
We always say those are what makes
how was it?
We always say those are what makes the chapters of the book coming
right. Yeah.
So if you didn't have all those things, you wouldn't have nothing to write about.
Sure.
So, what's one thing since you've been franchising that's like you're like was the most challenging part?
You want to go first?
Let me think on it. What do you got?
The most challenging part. Well, number one, figuring out the lead process, I think, has been a real
big challenge. I think that most franchise organizations, that's...
You know, I don't think people realize, like, how much money and time goes in to just being able to talk to somebody that's interested. Yeah. You know, in South Carolina, that's never heard of your brand. So I feel like that's a really big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So far.
I agree with that too.
And learning the vetting process.
Yeah, definitely.
And who you're looking for.
Personality. I had, you know, I really didn't have any idea in the beginning that you're those like, things were so
whoever had the money important. First, you just right. yeah, at that point, because you didn't know. So.
Right.
Yeah. So I would say those two things.
Yeah, now we have.
Do you think you can nail that down now? Like who your picture perfect franchisee is?
I mean, I think we get pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
By meeting them and, you know, having doing the discovery days, I think.
We'll go out to lunch or dinner or something like that. I feel like now there's a lot of conversations and getting to know somebody before signing the name on the line. So, you know, I feel like once we're around them for a while, you know, people, they get more comfortable and you can kind of see the personality that.
You should just serve them the margaritas, and then it's just a floodgate.
extra strong.
Start
ones.
Doing discovery days at 6:00.
Yeah. I don't think that ever gets any easier though, because I think our, like you know, even though as much as you talk, like some people can just put on a good show too.
Sure.
So, we've like been testing personality testing now.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes, so I they love can't, that idea. I love that idea.
Fool you in a you know 2-day seminar, you know so.
Yeah.
Just we took our top 10 and, you know, and just kind of like what made them run and why they were successful and then try to match those with the newbies coming in. So
sure.
I love that idea.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you know, often say we, you know, we were talking to someone the other day and, you know, he got approved for financing and I had a phone call with him and he said, "We're so excited, but we're extremely nervous." And I was like, "Look, we're nervous for you too. But, you know, if you weren't nervous, we would be worried." You know, a true entrepreneur has that worry of what could happen if you don't succeed. So I think that's, you know, a valuable trait is to have someone who is nervous they've got it on the line. And, you know, and that was us. We were extremely nervous in the beginning, and, you know, but we, you know, now we do sometimes sales in an hour, what we used to do in a day in the first year, year and a half. So, you know, but our goal was always, how can we get one more customer today? Yeah, how can we get one more customer tomorrow? So we were constantly trying to figure that out. And
that was the other late night 10 p.m. sessions, you know, just like Googling, like, how do I grow my business? Mm-hmm. How do I do this? And we would do it, you know, we would go out to other businesses and give them menus and tell them about our business, or, you know, that's where kind of like the specials, you know, we run daily specials every day. So we started specials on Friday because we wanted to take our busiest day and make it better. So, you know, our Fridays grew from the specials.
Yeah.
I think that's one thing that everyone always forgets is like staying relevant. Like just because you went there 2 weeks ago doesn't mean that the same person is still at that business. Mm-hmm. So it's like a revolving circle that you just have to keep going back. Like even with our finished Fridays, you know, or how many gyms can you go to? We're like, well, as soon as we get them all done, we'll start again because, you know, they've already, new trainers are already there. New people are already there. So it's constant. And I think everyone wants to slap money against their social media or TV, or, you know, and all this. And it really does take you going to those businesses. And, and which, you know, it sounds like works in all concepts. So.
Yeah, it does and, for sure.
You know, I think Kara will come home sometimes and, you know, I met, you know, somebody and, you know, I always ask, did you tell them about Burrito Shack?
Yeah.
You know, it's
everybody.
Were you wearing our shirt?
Right.
Yeah, like everybody knows about Burrito Shack, you know, like, why not? Just tell them.
Yeah.
I want to back up to something you said a minute ago and made me think about something you said about, you know, you guys get a good feeling when you're interviewing a franchisee and they're nervous. We were actually interviewed on another podcast last night and the guy asked us the same question about who we thought our picture perfect franchisee was. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you guys are going to be very similar or maybe. And my answer to him was, it's hard because I think that some of our best and most successful franchisees are the ones that come in and they barely have a pot to piss in, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
They barely qualify through our financial qualifications and they have zero plan B. And they go out there and get this thing open, and then they're just like ninjas because they have to be.
Right.
Yeah.
If they don't, they're going to lose their house. They put everything on the line.
Yeah.
Yep.
It always scares us, and we're like, man, do we approve these people? Do we let them do it?
Right.
And then, lo and behold, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But most of the time, for us,
absolutely.
those are some of the best because they have no other option.
Yeah.
Right. Nervousness equals grit, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So, believe that.
Failure is not an option, you know, at that point.
No.
I was going to say, I had one last question. I was going to say for everyone else out there that's, you know, thinking about franchising, what's one thing or, you know, what's a piece of advice that you would tell them?
I'd say find, you know, a franchise that the founders fit your personality as well. You know, I mean, we did our first conference January? This past January. And I mean, we had a blast, you know, and I said, everyone who was at that conference will never miss another one because we had so much fun with everybody. And, you know, we try to keep it fun and, you know, not just the sessions that we put on, but, you know, having fun with them. And, you know, we want people to feel the same way when they're with us. So, I'd say finding the right niche for, you know, with the founders that have similar interests and, you know, personalities is probably key because it's a working relationship.
I guess mine's a little bit off of that, but just piece of advice would obviously be like their why. Like, are they really excited, you know, because if they just want to talk about money, how much money am I going to make? Then, you know, you can make money at a lot of things.
But that's a death sentence if you walk in here and say
that. Yeah. I'm like, I want
totally agree with you.
Like, I want you to be excited. I want our franchisees to wear our gear when they're out. I want them, you know, to always be talking about Burrito Shack. Just be really excited about it. You know? It's
and we have some really good ones that are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really do. And I think that's why the conference was so good, because everyone just, you know, we all have that in common. We just have this passion for our brand and the food and, you know, everything that Burrito Shack is. So I would just,
So anybody who is listening, how do they get a hold of you to franchise if they're interested?
They go on the website, burritoshack.com, with no C, of course.
And, S-H-A-K.
S-H-A-K. You know, fill out the form and, you know, we'll have somebody reach out. And, but we're looking for, you know, like-minded people as well. And growing the brand with the right people.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys have done an amazing job. So one last question before we close it out. It's the cliche question that everybody asks. Growth strategy, where do you see yourself in 3 years? Do you have a way that you want to grow or have a strategy behind it? I know we did in the beginning, but are you guys just kind of growing where you can, or do you have an idea?
I mean, we're going to start investing a little more into the development side here in the next
areas in North Carolina, South Carolina,
maybe into Florida,
growing more closer to home, and then and then out Tennessee.
Yeah. I mean, if we're at 25 units open in the next 2 to 3 years, we'd be extremely happy with that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I still think the slow and steady is where we want to really be. You know, I don't think we're ready for exponential growth yet. But, you know, building the systems as we grow to support that, you know, I think is going to take time. And, you know, we got to be patient. You know, we can't just sell to anyone, and you know, we're still kind of picky in who we choose. So, you know, I think an equal pipeline to that, you know, in 3-5 years, you know, to be close to aiming at 50. I think that's probably a similar goal as what you would think, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think we can do it for sure.
Yeah definitely.
Well, thank you guys again for coming in. And
yeah, this is great.
Sharing your story. Guys, if you're around an area that has a Burrito Shack and you do not stop in, you're making a huge mistake. In my opinion, this thing beats the shit out of Moe's, Chipotle, any kind of Tex-Mex thing. The queso, I don't know what it is. I don't want to make them tell me. But it is. I was ranting. Somebody was ranting and raving about Chipotle's queso the other day.
The bad queso.
And, I said that Burrito Shack's queso is the best I've ever.
Thank you.
Ever had. So, I think it's just the your stuff is fresh.
Yeah,
it's
nice. We make it all in house. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, but thank you guys.
Again. Yeah, thanks for having us. This is great. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Till next week.